Well, happy Epiphany to all of you. We continue with the season of Epiphany, a season where we commonly talk about following the call of God. A good time, ironically, to have an annual meeting every year, by the way. Following the call of God, following the star. As I indicated to you last week, we are going through several call stories in our scripture readings throughout this season. And this includes the story of Jesus calling his disciples from this gospel. This week, it's from the Gospel of Mark. Last week, it's from the Gospel of John. Well, I would like to, this week, focus on another call story, and that is the call of God to Jonah from our Old Testament. Jonah, there's a lot to say about Jonah, and I got to kind of writing a sermon earlier this week, and you know, I had so much to say that I figured, you know, why don't we read the entire story of Jonah? Why don't I tell and retell the entire story of Jonah? Because the entire story of Jonah actually is not very long. And there is something I think that you can gain in the entirety of something, that you can gain an appreciation of themes and questions that can't really be teased out when we have just a section of this story. Plus, when was the last time you heard told you the story of Jonah with commentary from your pastor? Probably not very often. So, here it goes. Once upon a time, there lived a man named Jonah, son of Amittai, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now one day, Jonah was working, and a great voice of God came to him and said, "Go at once to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." "Nineveh, Nineveh," Jonah said to God. "Are you bleeping kidding me? Nineveh, you know what those crazy people do to people like us, right? Well, they invade your country. They behead all the male community leaders. They rape all of the women and children and then take them into slavery. You want me to go see those crazy folk? Thank you? No." But the voice of God kept coming to Jonah again and again and again, to the point where finally Jonah just couldn't get away from this dang voice. And it was bugging him so much, he finally just says, "Come on, God." And so he bought a boat ticket, got in a boat, and sailed the entire opposite direction of Nineveh to a town called Tarshish to get some relaxation and away from God's annoying little voice. But God hurled this great wind upon the ocean, and a mighty storm so rocked the ship that it almost broke into bits. The mariners were absolutely beside themselves. Can you imagine? One of them said, "You know, I've never seen a storm such as this." Another one said, "What on earth is happening to us?" They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the ship so they could better control it, to help navigate the huge waves. Jonah, our fearless prophet, goes down into the boat hull, very fearful and covers himself with some blankets and goes to sleep. The captain, in a rush in the hole, discovered Jonah and yelled, "What are you doing? Why are you sound asleep? You are a Jew, aren't you? Get up. Call on God so that we might be spared from this crazy, crazy storm." Well, the ship continued to be on the brink, wave after wave, and the sailors began to place bets with one another on who might be causing God to bring up such a storm upon them. And they saw Jonah shaking in the corner with his blankets. And they asked, "Is it you? Who are you?" Jonah replied, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, God of heaven and earth, who made the sea and dry land." Well, this kind of freaked out the mariners even more. And they asked, "What the bleep have you done here? What should we do to quiet this sea?" Jonah said to them quietly, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down, for I know it is because of me that this great storm is upon you." The sailors tried even harder to keep the ship upright, but it was no use. So they picked Jonah up, and saying, "Forgive us, God," they threw him into the sea. And to their astonishment, the sea immediately ceased to rage, and the storm and the water was immediately quiet. So moved were these men of the sea that all of them offered sacrifices and made vows to the God of Israel on the deck of that ship that day. Well, it turns out Jonah survived as well, having been swallowed by a gigantic fish that God sends to save Jonah. And he was in that belly of the fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. Jonah, realizing that he was still alive, started to sing. "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and God answered me." Well, then, the fish swarmed up on the beach and irped Jonah and some other contents, I'm sure, onto dry land. And the voice of God, darn voice, came again, saying, "Get up, Jonah. That great city of Nineveh, go to it and proclaim the message that I will tell you." And so Jonah, realizing where he was, slowly got up and started to lumber down the road to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a huge city, a 3 days' walk across. And Jonah hated every inch of it. This was the enemy. "I am not going into the center of that city," he told himself. So upon arriving at the city gate, Jonah took a couple steps into the city, raised his arms, and said, "40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Thanks, bye." And in that instant that Jonah turns around to walk out of the city, traffic stopped. People looked at him and said, "May God have mercy upon us." Every single person that Jonah saw bowed down and repented before God. The newspaper even ran this sermon as their headlines, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. News reached the king, even, of Nineveh, And he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with the sackcloth, and sat in ashes. For he was greatly disturbed, and he made this proclamation by decree of the king and the nobles. Nineveh shall not taste anything. We shall not feed, nor shall we drink any water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and we shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. For who knows? God may relent and change his mind. God may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God was going to bring upon Nineveh. It would not happen. Are you kidding me? Said Jonah. You're going to let these bleepers live? He then prayed to the Lord, Oh God, this is why I went the opposite direction and went to Tarshish at the beginning, because I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and I hate it. I can't bear seeing these guys live another day. Just end it now. Just take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live seeing the people of Nineveh live as well. And God said, Is it right for you, Jonah, to be angry? Well, that was it. Jonah bolted out of the city gate, sat on a hill overlooking the city, and cried. The Lord, turns out, appointed a bush and made it come over Jonah, giving him shade, which helped Jonah's mood somewhat. But then, the next day, God sent a worm, which attacked the bush and withered it, and it died. And so the sun again beat down on Jonah, and he became upset again. Just end it all, God, for it's better for me to die than live. But then God said, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry at the bush? Jonah replied, Yes, angry enough to die. God replied, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and for which you did not grow. It came into being in a day, and it perished in a day. Therefore, should I not be more concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, as well as many, many, many more animals? Here ends the story of Jonah. This story, we know, was purposely written as a satire comedy to prove a point. A point that I think needs to be heard in our time and place as we follow the God, the call of God. Who are the Ninevites today? And when have we purposefully gone in the opposite direction of God's call? What are we frustrated with God at? And perhaps the question that I most have been wrestling with this past week, who are our enemies whom we never think God could ever work through? May we be able to take the story of Jonah to heart in our time and place. And may God use us in ways we could never, ever imagine. Amen.